it gets real heavy real quick. You know, if you stole and if you cheated on your spouse, man, you got to go tell your spouse and tell that person's spouse, like, I took something that didn't belong to me. And you got to be willing. I mean, that's where God's grace and forgiveness are amazing. God does give grace. He does restore.
Our goal in this podcast is to know Jesus better, and by the power of his spirit, do better, so together we can be a little better. Hey everybody, welcome to the A Little Better podcast. My name is Luan, and I'm your host today because everybody else is gone, so you know, they had to find somebody. They're like, all right, Luan is around, so I'm here today, and I'm joined by Nate Miller, our Webster campus pastor, and Jason DeGraff, our campus director over at the Webster campus. Yeah. Let's go, we're all here together and talking about the eighth commandment. Come on, let's go. And Nate, that was a great message. But before you get to talking, would you mind giving us your sermon in 60?
Sure. Sermon in 60. So yeah, like you said, it was commandment number 8, do not steal. And so really just talking, trying to talk more about the heart behind that. I think we all naturally are like, yeah, don't steal a car. Right. Or, you know, we can so easily think big on that, but really just trying to uncover the heart behind why someone would get to a place in their life where they'd be willing to take something that isn't theirs. And so I talked about reasons why do we steal? We lack contentment. We don't trust that God can provide. We fail to see the way he tests us in the small things, or we just think, yeah, the small things don't matter. It's fine if I take here or there in certain ways. And then, just tried to talk through what Paul encouraged us in Ephesians 4:28 of, like, just those three things we can do to build a theft-proof life. From, you know, just Paul just straight up says, quit stealing. Don't do it. I love it. So blunt. Yeah. And then he turns right to, instead, you ought to work hard. And then he ends with just that push to generosity and how ultimately generosity and what Christ has done for us is shifts us from takers to givers. And we see that ultimately in the cross and the gospel of Jesus and how he changed and transformed our lives. We were all guilty of the eighth commandment, but yet we find transformation and hope from being takers to now givers. Mm-hmm. And so generosity is really the opposite heart posture of someone who is wanting to take something that isn't theirs. So,
yeah, and you're good. A thief. You told a story of you.
Thieving. I shared, how my sister Jenny and I, we stole from the snack shack at our Christian school that we went to. I stole some Slim Jims, and Jenny stole some fruit roll ups.
She made a better choice. I'm not a big Slim Jim guy.
Did they taste good?
Yeah, I love Slim Jims. You guys like Slim Jims? They're like my classic go-to. Okay. They're all right.
Like
For me, it was worth putting it all on the line to get a
Slim Jim.
To get a Slim Jim. Your hands.
But yes. But what about you guys? Do you ever stolen something, or maybe you've actually had something stolen from you? So you could go either way. But any personal stealing stories?
Jay, what do you have?
Okay. Maybe a common story. I tell this to my kids often. When I was in kindergarten, our teacher had us memorize our phone number and our mailing address. And so there was a little phone with a Tootsie Roll on it and our phone number. And so I memorized that and then our address on this little cutout of a house with a lollipop on it. And if you memorized your address, then you got the lollipop. So my friend Jonathan and I, we did this early in kindergarten, but then we just saw these lollipops on the wall, and we're like, I want that lollipop, especially the root beer ones. Those are the best. So what we do is when no one was paying attention, we'd walk up to the wall and kind of like bump against the paper and knock off the lollipop, grab it, put it in our backpack. We'd go home, and then we'd lie, add to the commandments here, and tell our parents, we were extra good today. And so we got a lollipop, and we do that day after day. I still remember the teacher saying, like, where are all the lollipops going? They're disappearing. And I'm like, oh, where are they going? And then one day I went up to take a lollipop, and I was peeling it off of the wall, and I got a little tap on my shoulder, and there was my kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Noy, saying, Jason, what are you doing? And so I'm like, oh, this other kid, he licked it. I was just checking on it.
The lies get deeper and deeper.
So I went to the principal's office, and no more lollipops for Jason.
Come on, that was your thing. Man, I can't really think of like a moment, like a story of something that I've stolen, but I remember when I was in fourth grade and somebody stole something from me, and it was as if like they had stolen like my world and stuff. But in fourth grade, like I remember we used to collect these like Pokemon figures they'd get like in the gumball machines. It's like 50 cents for a little ball that came with the Pokemon. And I remember I got this like really legendary one, and like this is revealing the nerd side of me, but I used to like love Pokemon. And I got this one and it was like a big deal. Like no one else in the whole class had it. So of course I brought it to school and I had to show it off, right? Because like I was that guy, I had the legendary Pokemon. And I had it and I was showing it off and like I was doing the thing. And I went to play with my friends and I couldn't find it. And I couldn't find it for 2 days, for a whole week. And so this other kid showed up to class with the same exact Pokemon. And he was telling everybody that it was his.
Oh, man.
But everybody knew it was mine. Oh. But how do you tell the teacher that, like, he had stolen mine? You know what I mean? So it was a whole thing. And then eventually, like, after a lot of, like, cries of desperation, he gave it back. We ended up becoming friends after that. I don't know how that happened, but we were friends. So, yeah, that was something really
no court case there.
No, I'm still recovering from it, right. But it's all right. But yeah, so all that to say, like, although those stories are great of things that we've stolen, it's kind of funny to think about. But Nate, one of the things that you really addressed in this message was that you went beyond just the actual, like, act of stealing something, right? Because it's easy to just read that passage and be like, okay, yeah, just don't steal, don't take something, don't steal the lollipop or the Slim Jims or the Pokemons or whatever, like, that's great. But I loved how you went deeper, how, like, there are a lot of small things that we often steal, things that we overlook, that in reality, it's really stealing. So what are some of those things? I know you gave some examples in your message, sure, about things that we often steal, even when we don't realize, but like, what are some, mm-hmm, other examples that we could talk about?
Yeah, man, I think there's a lot. I reference just like, man, we can so easily steal time from work. Like, are, mm-hmm, we really present? Did I really work that many hours? Like, am I really, you know, putting in my best? I think an easy one too is just like our phones. Like, mm-hmm, how many times even have I been guilty of like, I'm working, but like, I get stuck in an Instagram reel and then I'm just like, mm-hmm, looking at Instagram reels, or I'm checking a sports thing, or like, and so I think our phones can be one of the biggest culprits of, like, especially at work, where
you go,
like,
to the bathroom and it takes you half an hour.
Yeah, Nate's been there for, yeah, but what's he doing? So I think though it can be a lot of simple things like that, or like we just withhold the truth a little bit too, mm-hmm, to like make ourselves look better, and so we steal perhaps the hard work someone else put in or what they did to try to, you know, make ourselves look better. But I think oftentimes it's in, I don't know, at least I find for me, some of those more subtle, easy to just, mm-hmm, not a big deal. But the reality, mm-hmm, is that ultimately how I should be using my time, or am I truly robbing or stealing from what I should be doing in those moments? But I think a lot of times it's in those smaller ways, mm-hmm, but yeah.
I feel like there's so many cultural ways that we do this that we just look on past and we don't see. So I'd love to dive into like some of them. When I was in college, the big one was like Napster. Mm-hmm. So you could steal music online. So you could you'd burn CDs, you know, and take music, yeah, that's not yours, and then you trade it with your friends. So technically that was piracy. You're taking music that doesn't belong to you, which could hurt musicians. Or it's a DVD. You go to New York City and they're selling, you know, $5 mm-hmm. DVDs of a movie that just came out. So that's another example of a way that you could be stealing.
Right.
Well, I think with the whole AI revolution that's going on right now, man, it's so easy to like no longer be the source of content, where you're just saying, hey, I need this, produce this.
Right.
And then it'll produce really good content. And then you just take that versus, I mean, AI can be a tool,
sure,
but I would hope that you're generating the content, mm-hmm, and then you're like, hey, can you help this transition be better? Or is there a better example? So you're still producing, totally, not just wholesale, like provide all of this.
Yeah. I mean, even in like, I'm working on a sermon for next week, like you're studying and you just use Google and it has like an AI like conglomeration. Oh, yeah. When you just do a normal search and they're getting their information from sources. But if I'm trying to like teach, I can easily cite something that I learned from AI and not cite that I actually got this from a certain person. And then it's like plagiarism. I'm taking this idea as if it was my own.
That's right.
And I love that you talked about that, Nate, like the idea of like just cutting corners, right? Like trying to take the easy way out, like trying to do things. And even with like my own experiences, like you said, AI, like that's so prevalent today. But just thinking like, yeah, like I could work hard and write this paper, like I just finished school, like just thinking of that, like, yeah, I could work hard, finish the paper, like do my thing, or I could just like ask ChatGPT to like get these ideas and just like write something for me. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, like I really did that, but like it's just taking that shortcut, like taking the easy way out. It's
and then we act like, man, I was studying, and as I was studying this text,
right, exactly.
When in reality, you just,
while you were talking about that, I was like, wait, did I do that last week? I don't think I did. I think I'm fine.
so really we're funny. 1 month away from the NFL kicking off.
Yeah.
I live out of market. Like, I can watch the Bills games here, but I'm a Seahawks fan, so I can't watch them. So there's been times in my life where I'm like, I can actually find the game to watch. Like, if I just search for, like, live broadcast of Seahawks game, I could, like, search through the interwebs to find some sort of link out there to watch a game without paying for it, which is technically stealing.
Right.
And I've done that in the past, and then I felt convicted. I'm like, actually, this doesn't belong to me. But there's been many friends who said, actually, I don't need to pay for anything, and I'm biting my lip. Am I going to be like up and holy and say, actually, you should pay for that? But I've done it in the past. But that technically is stealing something that doesn't belong to us.
What is it they say at the end of every game? Like, you know, you cannot take your express written consent unless it's express written consent from the NFL. Right. You cannot.
But as you're watching, you're like, oh man, that's sorry. But yeah, but even going deeper than that, Nate, we're talking about this off camera a little bit, but like, why do you think that is? Like, why do you think we're so eager, or like, why do you think we desire to steal even in like these small ways? Like, what do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I talked about three of them of just we're not content, or we don't trust God, or we just ignore the small things. I think the small things is a big thing of just like, it's no big deal. Like, the NFL is a big corporation. They make billions of dollars. Like, who's going to care if I'm watching on some bootleg streaming channel, or I don't know how you're gaining access to do that, but we just fail to see, like, it's not important. It's not significant. But I think, though, that there is within that this underlying lie or lack of trust that we can believe, or we just think it isn't a big deal. But yet, I mean, truly our integrity is on the line. How much are we really wanting to say, like, Lord, my whole life is devoted to you and in worship of you. But yet so easily there's these little things that we overlook, and we just like, I don't know. It's not that big of a deal. It's fine. No one will ever know. No one ever, like, is it really hurting anyone? I just think we can so easily deceive ourselves into thinking it's not a big deal, when I think ultimately that does reveal, it is an indicator of how much are we giving God control of in our lives, or are we skirting like on some of these smaller issues?
Didn't you say that there's a comment in the pre-preach that stealing is tied to like every one of the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, I didn't actually mention that. Yeah, that was, I had to cut that out. But yes, if you look at all of the Ten Commandments, all of them have to do with stealing. I mean, you can go right on down the list from, we steal from God, we bow down to other idols, so we're not giving our proper worship to him, adultery, we're robbing and taking from someone else, coveting, all of those. Like, stealing kind of has that idea of taking something that we don't own at someone else's expense does really tie into all of them.
Yeah, going back even to like the first and second command too, about like idolatry and worshiping other things. Like, if we're not satisfied in God alone, then we're willing to get something that doesn't belong to us because we aren't content with God.
Right. And I think all of it really boils down to just pride, right? Like, you make all things about yourself. And I think that's interesting, because like, yeah, you steal because you think you deserve that. Like, you're owed that thing that you want. Or like, you cheat on your spouse because you want that. Or you create a God for yourself that's going to please you because it's all about you. And I find it fascinating, because like, you were talking about all these different ways that we often steal and the different reasons why we steal. But I think when we try to tackle it, is when we recognize, like, man, instead of all of that, like, we should be more selfless. We should be generous. We should give more. Like, we should replicate the actions that resemble God's character. And I found that to be really convicting. So thanks for that. That was really, really good. But one of the things that we're also talking about, and I think this was your thought, Jason, is like, hey, what if you're in a situation that, like, man, you've stole something. Like, you've stolen something from somebody, or you cheated, or you cut some corners, you took the easy way out. Like, how do you navigate that? Like, you as a believer, like, you know that you've done something that was wrong, you've stolen, you did, you know, what you weren't supposed to. Like, how do you make that right?
Yeah. You want to tackle that first, or?
Yeah, I mean, it gets really messy. Yeah. I think this is where are we really willing to follow Christ and do the hard thing? Because when we sin, there's consequences, you know, for our punishment. And we can easily look like, we can easily say, oh, under grace, like sin, you know, God covers, there's forgiveness, we can move on, don't be overwhelmed with guilt, and just ask God for forgiveness, and you're all set. But that's, you know, part of the gospel is not just asking forgiveness from God, but asking forgiveness from the people that we've sinned against, which means that we also might have to face consequences for our choices. You know, sometimes those are going to be legal consequences. Like if you've stolen from your workplace, that means you probably got to admit to your crime, you know, and tell someone. Maybe it's a small thing and you just tell your supervisor and they're like, you know, don't worry about it. And then you're off the hook. Maybe it's something bigger. Could be tax fraud. I mean, you could go to, I mean, it gets real heavy real quick. You know, if you stole and if you cheated on your spouse, I mean, you got to go tell your spouse and tell that person's spouse, like, I took something that didn't belong to me. And you got to be willing. I mean, that's where God's grace and forgiveness are amazing. God does give grace. He does restore. But I think of the story of Zacchaeus. You know, there's the man who climbs up. He's a short guy, climbs up a tree to see Jesus when he is coming. He was a tax collector, so he was, you know, gathering way more money than he was owed. And Jesus sees him, and he knows he's going to hit him in his life where he's been cheating and stealing. And he says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. Like, I'm coming over. And so Zacchaeus goes home, and meeting Jesus, he recognizes he's got to make restitution, you know, but he's so overjoyed by meeting the Messiah, the one who's going to rescue him, that he is willing to lose everything that he has gained in order to experience freedom. And he gives back not just what he stole, but four times what he stole, which when you think about stealing too, there's opportunity costs. So if you steal from someone else, you know, that could impact their career, their ability to make more money. If it was an investment, they could have made more money. So when you steal from someone, they're not just losing what you stole, but also what they could have made in the future. So there's good reason to give back more than what you've stolen. So that's just, you know, I guess a few examples of that.
I love, though, the heart of the gospel in there, though. Mm-hmm. Like, when you realize how much we have gained, like you said, Jay, and what Christ, his death, burial, resurrection accomplished for us, we realize how much we've gained. Like, that's ultimately contentment too. Like, we have everything we need in Christ. And so therefore, I mean, it still might be hard and there still might be consequences, but ultimately you can make those things right at whatever cost they might be, ultimately knowing that Christ has fulfilled and satisfied the most important part of our lives, which is our salvation, our relationship with him. But I love what you said there of, like, when you realize how much you have been given, like, it's still going to be hard, but it still allows you to accept maybe the consequences more easily of, like, this could cost me my job. This could cost me a lot of money or time in jail.
Relationships.
But I know, though, that ultimately I found Christ and that my hope is there.
It does challenge, are you really content in Christ? Because if you recognize there's consequences for this, then I might lose what I had gained unjustly. Right. Am I really willing to give that up to be satisfied in God alone?
Right. Like, that's what fascinates me so much about Paul, is like, circumstantially, Paul had nothing and lost everything for following Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Like, he did nothing wrong when you think about it, right?
Yeah, he's getting ready to be executed, but yet, you know, in that Ephesians 4, he talks about, like, I can do all things through Christ, which is often a misinterpreted verse. Yeah. He's talking about, like, I can be content in all things because of what he says. I know that Christ will be able to supply all of my needs, but, like, to get to that place, you know, I often think about this, like, man, if I lost everything and I'm, like, in jail and, like, am I still able to say rejoice in the Lord always? Again, I say rejoice. And I mean, it's just, but Paul was so captivated and knew where his identity and contentment lies that he was willing, for the sake of everything, to give everything up for the gospel.
Yeah.
There's a lot of free people in prison and people in prison who are free, you know? So if you're not willing to.
Oh, that's good.
Write it down.
Hashtag Jay quote there.
Man, that's really good. And I love that. I think one of the, at least for me, one of the most impactful parts of your sermon was the whole contentment part. Because I think, and you said it in such a beautiful way, Jay, it's just like, man, we got to find our contentment in Christ. Because mm-hmm. if you are content in Christ, if you know that he is going to provide everything that you need, if you know that he's walking with you, that he's present with you in the midst of whatever situation you're in, man, that even prevents you from stealing or wanting to steal mm-hmm. or thinking that you deserve things that you don't deserve, because, you know, God supplies mm-hmm. everything that you need. And I love that, because that's really a way to take care of your heart in that way.
It's so interesting because, you know, I'm preaching in 2 weeks on coveting, which is mm-hmm. the 10th commandment. And coveting and stealing are very, very similar. And so a lot of like the heart work of contentment show up in both. But, you know, I'll talk more about this in a couple of weeks. But I think, you know, desires, like sometimes we can feel like I can't desire anything, mm-hmm. you know, or it's wrong to desire certain things. But no, it's okay to dream. It's okay to desire. But you ultimately, though, come back to that anchor of like realizing God's in control. Mm-hmm. He's going to give me what he thinks is best at the right time and at the right place, or, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I can be content with the portion he's given me right now. You know, and I can find satisfaction and even contentment. Even if I thought I'd be further along or more successful or in a different role or a different job, this is where he has me, and I can trust him in that and find that source of contentment now. But sometimes I feel like, oh, we got to be content. That means I can't desire anything, or I can't have dreams or expectations. But it's just having those in the proper place.
I'm reminded of like Romans chapter 1, where God talks about why people reject him. Mm-hmm. It says they did not give thanks, you know? So I feel like thanklessness is the breeding grounds for our heart to begin to like forget God and mm-hmm. recognize what we have in God, and eventually to just reject him altogether. And then it says God gives them over to their desires. So then you're like, I'm just consuming because I'm not grateful for what God has given me.
Yeah.
What's that verse too? It's delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Like, that's such a great, is that Psalm?
From 37:4, 34:7, something like that.
Yeah.
Probably, that's right. We got the definition wrong. Right,
so true though, like when we delight ourselves in the Lord and his gospel, his grace, his goodness, like our desires follow that. And so then I think, God will delight to give us the desires of our heart as we are, hopefully those desires are being conformed to the things that are best that he does.
One of the things every night before bed, when we do like devotions with the girls, I always have them try to thank God for 5 things. but it gets pretty rote after a while. It's like, thank you, God, for mom, dad, Eden, Haven, and thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and rising again. You know, so they just like spit the same thing. And I'm always like, think about today, think about the moment. But I can do the same thing. I can just kind of go over just the same things and not really pause often to be grateful for what I have. Instead, I go to my friends, and you'll probably get to this in a couple of weeks on coveting, but go to my friend's house and be like, oh, that's nice. I wish I had that. Or I am on Amazon and I'm like, suggested item. Like, I want that, you know? So pretty soon I'm just coveting all these things instead of being content with what I have.
Right.
Yeah. Man, that's so good, guys. That was a great discussion, but we got to wrap up. But hey, thank you so much, guys, for joining us. And we hope to see you again for next week for week 9 of Written in Stone. Love you guys.